All right, he is faithful. Let's turn to Exodus 20. We are looking at the commandments. And we are going to look at verse 12. Last week we started this. Today we're going to continue looking at it, but more kind of in a practical way. We gave background to this. We gave information concerning it. We'll give you a little review here from last week. But then we want to go from that into just some practical thoughts, okay? We're looking at verse 12, Exodus 20, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. This is the fifth commandment, and it's the first commandment of the latter six commandments. The first four commandments has to do with our relationship to God. The last six has to do with our relationship to others. And as we note here, God begins that last six, our relationship to others, with the family. He begins it with this verse 12, honor thy father and mother. That is huge. And the reason being, God doesn't do things by mistake. He has a reason. Because it is in the home that we are taught and trained how to relate to other people. If that does not happen in the home, then there's going to be a huge problem with the other five commandments after this. A huge problem. So I hope you understand what God is doing here. He is beginning at the very foundation of our relationship to other people and how they relate to other people, no matter how old they are. I am very pleased when I see young people relate to older people. That they can carry on a conversation with them. But then I've seen some that don't even want to get around them because they don't know how to relate to them. That's taught in the home. That begins from birth. And no wonder God puts that here. Now the word honor is kaved in the Old Testament. It is the word that we use in the Old Testament of God's glory. Give glory to God. Kaved to God. It has to do with weight. And so what God is saying here, the way we honor parents is to give them due weight to their God-given position. That's the idea here. Give your parents, give them recognition for the responsibility that God has given to them and the authority that God has invested to them. It is the same as in Romans 13 where it talks about government. All government is ordained of God. They are invested with power. That's the same principle here with parents. He has given them the power, the authority, and they are to carry out that responsibility as a parent. And when they do it correctly, then the next five commandments fall in place as far as relationships. But I'm telling you, it's amazing to me that there's a lot that cannot carry on a conversation with an older person. Now, it might be the older person's problem, but I'm just saying, it's like they can't relate to them. And folks, that comes from the home. That comes from the home. And it has to be those children, young people, adolescents, that listen to their parents and learn these things. Okay? That's where they learn these things. Now, we're going to go on and, you know, rebellion to parents is very much an all too common thing in this country. Rebellion to authority in this country is an all too common thing. Well, where does that come from? It comes from the home. You teach authority in the home. When teachers are teaching in classrooms, in our schools, why is it that they have problems with authority? Because they never were taught it in home. Why is it they have authority with government? They were never taught it in home. That is the very fabric of our society. No wonder Satan is after the home. No wonder he wants the home destroyed, because he knows in destroying that, he can destroy a nation. He can destroy a nation. Well, last week we looked at some verses in the Old Testament when it came to being disobedient to parents. What was the sentence? Death. Death. Remember, we read where the parents would take the child that's rebellious out to the elders of the city and they'd stone him to death. And so you go through the Old Testament and you say the sentence for being disobedient to parents was death. So you understand how important God is saying this is? It's a horrendous sin to God. It is awful. Because again, where he put it here in the commandments. Because everything else, all of our relationship to other people begins at home, being taught how to relate to other people as we should. And so we read that in the Old Testament. Then we went over to where Paul mentions it. And in Romans 1, verse 28, he starts with all these sins, all these wicked sins. And guess what's in there? Disobedient to parents. And how does he end that up? He says, they are worthy of death. Really? I mean, you ever thought about that? I mean, the Old Testament, if a child was disobedient, take him out, put him to death. Paul says they're worthy of death in Romans chapter 1. I would say that God doesn't like that. He is dead set against that. Then we went over to 2 Timothy. In the last days, perilous times shall come. And what is he mentioning there? Disobedient to parents. Disobedience to parents. God takes this seriously. This is not a suggestion here. This is not a suggestion. This is a commandment of God. Now, we continued. We looked at that in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 2. It added something to that. Because in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 2, it talks about that this honoring father and mother, is the first commandment with promise. Now, what promise? Well, Exodus. We looked at Exodus 20, verse 10. That thy days, honor thy father and mother, that thy days be long upon the land which the Lord has given you. Now there, he was talking specifically to the Jews, because they were getting ready to go into the land. And God says, the land I have given you. They were getting ready to go into the land flowing with milk and honey. But when you come to Ephesians 6, he brings it into today. And Ephesians 6 says, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Now, does that mean that every child that grows up being obedient to the parents is going to live to be 100 years old? No. And it doesn't matter that when a young person dies early in age, doesn't mean they were disobedient. But the general rule is that God will give blessings. And one of those is long life to those who are obedient to the parents. Now, I don't have the figures, but it would be interesting to know how many young people are killed in an untimely death. And only God knows this. Only God knows it. That you go back and see that they were disobedient to parents. Because we look at that sometimes, we say, man, that's just untimely. That was too young to die. Well, maybe in God's eyes, we know in God's eyes it won't. But you always wonder about that. As I read this, sometimes I wonder. Because God knows things that we don't know. He knows. He knows what goes on in the home. He knows what takes place. And it may very well be that those that we think were untimely deaths, they weren't untimely in God's eyes. Maybe you never thought of that, but I thought that. So, you know, what was the situation? What was the situation? Because he puts a lot of emphasis on death. Now that's a morbid thing to think about. That's not hard to think about. I'm just telling you what God's word says. I'm just telling you what God's word says in the Old Testament. I'm telling you what Paul said over in Romans chapter 1. So, parents, and this kills me, to go into a grocery store or department store or whatever, and this and a child just is unbelievable. They'll hit their parents, they'll throw things at them. I've seen them kick them and everything else. Now that tells me that the parents are slack. And I'll be honest with you, I feel sorry for the child. I feel sorry for the child. Because that tells me there's no teaching in the home about authority. None whatsoever. And I get thinking, I said, well, I can tell you one day, if that's not curtailed, that child is going to use more than his feet when he pulls a gun out or a knife and kills somebody. And I'm saying that is awful. Parents should teach their children when they are very young, when they are very young, that they are not permitted to defy them, they are not permitted to hit them, and they are not permitted to hate, say, I hate you. Now, last week, I mentioned someone that did just that. We won't go into that. Well, now, last week we looked at this and I said, you know, now it is extremely difficult. It is extremely difficult for a child, or especially a young person, to apply this command if the parents are abusive, if they are physically abusive, if they are emotionally abusive, if they're sexually abusive. It is very difficult. It is very difficult. And there are some young people, their children, that grow up in that atmosphere. And God help those parents. God help those parents. If they don't recognize their evil way and turn from it. If God is that serious about a child that is disobedient, that they can be prematurely taken, what do you think about the parent that may have caused that? What do you think's waiting for them? It is difficult for a believing young person, a child of God, to honor parents who attack their faith. That is difficult. And I've said it here before, when I would take teens to the camp, and they would go to camp, and they might surrender themselves to the Lord, or God dealt with them some, and then they come back home, and I know, because I knew their parents, they would not get one bit of encouragement. And they find themselves right back in a house where there was nothing but wickedness and sin. And your heart goes out to that. Now, I told you one time, when we had a Christian school, when I was at a Christian school, the administrator, we would take teens on an ensemble tour. And they would come back just completely blessed of what God had done in the churches that we were in. And they would come back, and we would have about 20 of them, 18 or 20 of them, in the ensemble. And they would come back, and they were on a spiritual high. And they were sharing with one another continually the testimony and all that had taken place on that trip. And I remember one occasion that the administrator of the school was talking to another young person, not one that was in the ensemble. And that young person was talking about these that had come back, and it was like they were in a clique or something, and that's a dangerous thing. But he said these words. He said, give them a couple of weeks and they'll be over it. And that burnt me up. Because I knew right then, I said, he's not excited about what took place on those trips. He wasn't excited about what God did in the hearts of those young people. He was ready to kind of get them back into a mediocre Christianity and blend in with all the others. That's the main person I had to go in one time. I taught Bible. I told him, I'm tired of teaching Christian ethics to unsaved young people. And I was. I said, they know what to say, how to say it, and who to say it. I said, and I feel like that's what I'm doing. And that may be what's happening in the home. It may be. Now, I'm not saying you teach it. You teach it. But sometimes you just don't see a change in the life. And it's kind of like what Christ said, be careful of placing your pearls before the swine. Because what will they do? They'll turn and rend you. That's what the rebellious child will do. The pearls are the word of God, the truth of God's word. And the next thing you know, they'll turn and they'll rend you. So you have to be careful about that. Well, here's the thing. What do you do when it's a child that has come from a home of abuse? What do you do when it's a young person who is a child of God? What is needed there? Counsel. It's counsel that's needed. The counsel of how to show respect, because God he's not giving any exceptions here. You understand? He didn't say honor thy father and mother, except he didn't. And God in his sovereign providence, he put you in that family. He put me in the family I am. He puts those there. Now, we don't understand the workings of God. He says, my ways are not your ways. But he has a purpose and he has a reason. But here's the thing. That person needs to, again, they show honor and respect. But at the same time, they have to protect themselves from abusive situations. They have to protect themselves from that, whether it's emotional, verbal, sexual, whatever it is. They still have to protect themselves. They have to be wise. They have to be wise. But Psalm 27:10, I love that. When my father and my mother forsake me, the Lord will take me up. And that's exactly what happens in those homes, especially with a child, with a saved child or young person. They, in a sense, have kind of been forsaken. And God says, when they do that, I will take you up. I will take you up. And by God's grace, as we said last week, by God's grace, he has delivered many children out of that kind of atmosphere. And he has put them in a new family, his family, to where they can come and they can find love and encouragement. And that's where they have to turn. That's where they have to turn. That's what the church is all about. It's what the body of Christ is all about. It is ministering to one another. It is ministering to one another. And that's where they have to turn. Now again, they honor and respect their parents, but they have to be very wise, especially if it's in an abusive situation. God wants children to be obedient to their parents that he has given to them, and to realize that their authority comes from him. It comes from him. Your parents have come from him. He has ordained those parents. He has given you the child of those parents. Now, what happens? And it gets kind of a little tougher here. You know, we talk about the terrible threes and all that stuff. What about when that child reaches adolescence? Oh, they get into the 14, 15 years of age and 16 years of age. Oh, my word. All of a sudden, the parent calls the youth pastor, the pastor, and said, look, I got a problem here. It's like somebody has stolen my child. I think it's an alien here. I think this person in my house, they're from another planet. What's happened to them? They've gone crazy. It's a disconnect. That's what it is. It's a disconnect. And they don't understand that. They don't understand about this disconnect thing. Well, they're growing up. Things are changing in their life. They're facing those. They're kind of testing the boundaries a little bit. It's a part of growing up. Now, I'm not saying they sin. It's just a part of what God has put in. You faced it. I faced it. Some faced it a little longer than others. I did. But it's a part of growing up. It's a part of change. It's a part of even during those times, they begin to question their faith a little bit. Is it mine or is it borrowed? Do I really believe this, or am I just kind of pleasing mom and dad? And things, and not all young people face that, but most probably do. They go through these changes. And that's when all of a sudden that person is like, he or she, they're from another planet. I guess little girls come from Venus and little boys come from Mars, right? But that's the way they feel. They say, well, where did this person come from? Where's my real child? He's been replaced. Body snatchers. You don't know. And there's a disconnect. And there is a disconnect. There is a disconnect. You know, there are things that parents teach us, even though there's a disconnect. Parents have been there and done that. They have been birthed. They have been reared. They've gone through that change. Every generation goes through that change. They've been there. They've done that. And along the way, your parents, my parents, have learned some valuable truths when it comes to life. And those truths are the same across every generation. God's truth does not change from one generation to another, or He would be revising the Bible every generation. It does not change. Those basic truths of life are always in place across every generation. And to honor parents that sense that disconnect, that have the problem, to honor them is to listen to what they have to say and being wise enough to apply it to your day. Y'all get that? That's what it is. It is listening to what they say, the basic truths of life that you're going to need, and taking that and applying it to your situation today. Because God knows that day is going to come to you. He knows that, listen, when He gave the word, He knew that we're going to have what we have today. He knew all that. But there are some things that transcends generations. And does change from generation to generation. And a lot of the things that parents has always been, things like spending time with the wrong friends. Now see, we don't see anything wrong with them. They always act like they like me and all. But you know, parents have the wisdom to see a little bit beyond that. They see a little bit of character that you may not see. Or restraining from those things that can cause permanent physical damage or spiritual damage. If you come from Christian home, they're aware of those things. They're aware of those things. They can go back and find some of them and say, I know what I was like when I was your age and I got with the wrong crowd. And they got me to what? Doing this, doing that, doing the other. It never changes. Never changes. There are basic things that are true for every generation. And those parents know that. They've been there. And sometimes they want to instill these things in you, and they can become impatient. I agree with that. I think they can. But you got to have patience. God's at work. And takes prayer. It takes patience and prayer. You know, there comes a time that all of a sudden we get wise. A light bulb comes on, right? And we all of a sudden realize, you know what? My parents had more wisdom than I thought they did. I mean, I thought I knew it all. But all of a sudden, my parents are wise when it comes to those things that count for life. And you know when that is? That's usually when they are now facing decisions like education, career, marriage, children. I was talking to a couple yesterday, Jen and I. Their son just graduated from high school. I said, "How is he doing?" He said, "He's scared to death." I said, "Why is he scared? I thought he'd be." He said, "No, he's scared." He said, "Because now that's over, and he's facing things he didn't think he's going to." He said, "He don't know what he's going to do. He don't know what he's going to do." He said, "It's really bothering him." In other words, life has smacked him in the face. You know, life has smacked him in the face. And so they are working with this Christian family, very strong Christian family. And so, again, parents are honored when their advice is sought. They're honored when you seek their advice about these areas here. Now you think about it. Think about disconnect here. There was a time, generations past, where fathers were in a trade. And they would teach their children that trade. And it was the trade that their fathers taught them. And it would take a long time before that child would ever reach or match the ability that the father had. Now, let me say this. We cannot expect our children to, I want to say, follow our footsteps. Because it may be that God does not want that child to go that direction. But years ago, that was what happened. And so a business, if a father owned a business, he'd pass it on to his son, son passed on. But it would take a lot of time for that son to get to the ability of matching their parents. However, today, in elementary school, the child is far surpassing what the parents know, knowledge-wise. And that causes a disconnect. That causes a disconnect. I mean, they're learning things that parents never even heard of. Never even heard of. And they learned that in elementary school. How would you like, I mean, you sit down with your young person and try to figure out the math they got today. Now, I loved math. Like history more, but I love math. And I was okay until I got past algebra 2. Then it got into geometry. But that wasn't good. Today, here's the thing. They got to know it because of all the technological advances. You got to know some math. Pretty much everything is math. It comes in somewhere. But it's so far advanced than the last generation, or certainly the generation before that there's a disconnect there. Now, if you're an IT man, like Josh back there, I'll have a problem with that. But ain't all parents an IT man. right? It's up yonder. It's up yonder. So you see this disconnect, and so here's this new generation that surpasses every generation surpasses the last generation in knowledge. Now you out there that are of this generation, there's going to come a day, your children, well, guess what? They're going to surpass you. They're going to think you are archaic, just like you think we are. They're going to think you are archaic, because that's how fast it's moving. Because we live in a society that prizes itself on knowledge, but very little on wisdom. Very little on wisdom. And wisdom is the correct use of knowledge. And so everything is on knowledge. Well, we're in an age of high tech. So you can understand why, and it's evolving so fast, you can understand the disconnect there. That can happen. But God still demands that we honor and we respect. And the sad thing here is today is that parents are seen as obstacles to be overcome. Parents are seen as obstacles to be overcome rather than wise guides to be followed and emulated concerning the values of life, those things that never change from generation to generation. Now, here's another difficulty that arises when a young person wants to make decisions, and it has to do with honoring the Lord in the area of education, in the area of career, in the area of marriage. Here's a Christian young person who wants to honor the Lord. But their parents are not Christian, and they don't understand that. They don't understand. Why do you want to go to a Christian college? Why do you want to go to a college and learn, prepare for ministry? You're not going to make money in ministry. You're not going to get the benefits that you would get from a huge corporation. You're not going to get those benefits. Why? They don't understand that. Why are you looking for certain characteristics in a person that you marry? You're not going to find a perfect person out there. And they don't understand that. Well, I like old so-and-so over here. Why don't you marry him? Or I like so-and-so. Why don't you marry her? She's such a good person, but she's not a Christian, Dad. He's not a Christian. He's good. He's good. So what does it matter? They don't understand that. And so you got another problem here. I remember, and I've told y'all, I remember when we were going to Piedmont and we were trying to sell our house. And the Lord brought us to the very last day. We had to be at Piedmont the next day to check in. And they still hadn't sold our house. And I was thinking, God has forsaken us. I know he's leading me to ministry. I know he was doing this. I knew it. But something is not adding up. Remember on Wednesday night we said that God sometimes works. He waits to the last quarter, the final inning. He waits to the midnight hour before he answers your prayers. And I remember Jenny can vouch for this. I remember going to bed that night and I'm just kind of discouraged. I felt like God has forsaken us. I get up the next morning for some reason I went and I said, God's going to sell this house. I said, I know he's called us to ministry. 8:30, a little after 8:30 that morning, the realtor called me and Jenny and he says, you can start moving. I said, what are you talking about? Because I'm thinking, well, if you sold the house now, it's going to take a month of a closure thing. He said, no. He said, we got a man that called me, and he says he's going to pay cash for your house and for y'all to take off. And he'll take care of the rest. I thought, praise God. My goodness. I remember going down to the protein office. I'm shouting. You know why the man did that? I learned this. he had a son that wanted to go to Piedmont. He wanted to go there to prepare for the ministry. And this was like a few years earlier, 4 or 5 years earlier. And he didn't want his son to go to Piedmont. He wanted him to go to Garner Webb. He wanted him to get into business because he was in business. And he could not understand why his son wanted to go to Piedmont, because at Piedmont you were trained to preach or become a missionary those days. That's it. If you didn't want to do that, you wouldn't go to Piedmont. He could not understand why his son wanted to go there. So he did. He said, I will not pay for you to go there, but I'll pay for you to go to Garner Webb. Well, God got a hold of his heart. And he found out, and he knew me, not real well, but he knew. Paul wrote, he got a hold of his heart. He called a realtor. He said, you tell Lee Price and his wife, I'm going to buy his house and I'll take care of it. And he told that realtor told us the exact story. He said God had made him feel so guilty about not letting his son go to Piedmont. He says, I'm hoping I can make this right by fixing it to where they can go. And that's what he did. How many times that happens? Wanting to go to a Christian college and parents say, no, that don't make sense. You're not going to make any money. You want to go to be a missionary? What? And go to a country that you won't even know, Siberia, we just talked about. Do you want to do that? You're going to throw your life away. No, Dad, Mom, I'm just doing what the Lord is wanting me to do. Why are you crazy? You're crazy. I remember the girl we took to Pensacola and wanted to go to her bad. She came back wanting to go, and her mother would not let her go because her mother says, I need you here. She didn't need her there, but she didn't want her to go away. Some parents just don't understand those things, to do something that would not give you good benefits and good money. Remember what Christ said, a house of five, and he would turn this one against that one. In Luke, he's talking about he came because he would bring division in the home. There's an example of that. There's an example. Now, Christian young people should never, ever let honoring their parents take the place of following the Lord. That's why Ephesians says, obey them in the Lord. In the Lord. Now, it may take prayer. It may take patience. And you still respect them. And you respect their input. You do that. Because that leaves the door open for possibly their salvation. That's what it does. Now, when a parent's advice cannot be followed, you still owe them that respect and honor. Because they're still parents that God has given to you. They're still the parents they've got that God has given to you. But you have to be careful of letting a wedge form between children and the parents. You have to keep it where the conversations remain open. They remain open. And there's always wisdom. And I found this out from my dad, who was unsaved. In talking to them, I have found that there was wisdom in some things he said that I never thought about. Even this, when I'm going into the ministry, that were wise things that I had not thought about. And this was coming from an unsaved man. So there's wisdom in all conversations. You got to be wise enough to discern that. And with patience, you pray for those parents. You pray for them. And you are thankful for their input. It may not have been godly input, but there is some wisdom in some things they say. And that's where your wisdom comes in. That's where your wisdom comes in. You've got to dissect it. And as the old thing, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater, okay? Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. There's always a little bit of wisdom, because God is the one who causes that conversation to take place. And it may be something he wants you to pick up on and discern. So that's all about respect. I didn't get anywhere where I wanted to get this morning. I may continue this next week. I really want us to look at another way to honor parents. Is taking care of them in old age. Now, I'll tell you, I've been in enough nursing homes, assisted living homes. I've been enough of them to see some sad, sad things. Sad things. Half of our society today does not believe it's the responsibility of the child to do that. Next week, Lord willing, maybe, don't know if I go there, I'm going to prove that the Bible says the exact opposite. The exact opposite. But there are stipulations. There are stipulations to that. Remember, back then, they didn't have nursing homes. They didn't have assisted living. They didn't have all that. So who took care of the parents? Children. Grandchildren. So we'll look at that possibly next week. If I do, it's going to be a short one. All right, let's stand.